recording of the ICANN conference call with Craig Schwartz as the conference leader, scheduled for Wednesday, February 3rd at 4 p.m. Central Time. Confirmation number is 1363770. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I will go ahead and turn the call over to Craig Schwartz. Thank you.
Actually, Mary, it's Andy. I'll go ahead and take the call. Thank you. All right, so let's just do a quick roll call of everybody. We had a couple people sort of chime in to say that they wouldn't be able to make today, so we've got a smaller group. If I do not call your name, please let me know. So I've got Craig Schwartz here sitting with me. Francisco Arias is on. Mark McFadden. Mikey O'Connor. Barry Cobb. Michael Pelage. Frank Martin. Steve Holston. John McIlwin. Evan Leibovich. Lynn Goodendorf.
I'm here.
And Jeff Schmidt. Did I miss anybody? All right, great. So, Mike, I'll just quickly go over the to-dos and turn over to you. Does anybody have suggested updates for the agenda? Okay. So we have the wiki up and running. I think everyone's kind of actually been focused on it and using it over the last week. That's great. Again, if anyone's having any difficulty with that, just quickly shoot me an email, and I'll help as soon as I can. Today, we'd like to really look at finalizing, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong here, we'd like to finalize the problem statement and goal statement if we can, so that we can begin to get ready to sort of finalize that for discussion in Nairobi. We've got some draft material out. Mike will go over that a little bit later in the call. And then for everyone on the call, we're planning on having a meeting in Nairobi at this point, probably about a 90-minute session, to really sort of go over what we have accomplished to date and then talk about next steps leading up to Brussels and where we want to be. So if members of the group could let me know if you'll be in Nairobi, I could get a rough head count and make sure that we've got the right facilities for the meeting. That'd be great. Just post up to the general HSTLD email group would be fine.
We want to just do that right now, if we can, Andy, just to get a quick heads up. I myself intend on attending Nairobi right now. Is there anyone else on the call? Steve, I think you're going, correct?
Yes, Steve Holton will be there, at least as far as I know.
All right.
Jeff Schmidt, about an 80% probability I will be there.
I'll put you down as a yes, Jeff. For headcount purposes.
Yes, if it's more than 51%, I guess that's a yes.
Yeah, for headcount purposes, that's a yes. I'd like to be there.
Who's that?
Andy.
Andy? Okay.
Yep.
So we have Andy, and I think I was talking with Brian Cute. I think he will be going as well. So that's probably a yes for Brian, a yes for Jeff, a yes for Steve, myself, Andy, Craig, obviously you'll be there. Mark, are you going to be there, McFadden?
Hi, Mike, I don't know yet.
Okay, there we go. We'll consider that a no for now. So I guess that's a pretty good quick initial head count, Andy. And, again, we'll just send out a reminder on the mailing list for those team members that were unable to attend today's call to get their feedback as well. Do you have any idea right now when this session may be taking place? If it is an afternoon session, that may provide the opportunity for remote participation for some team members here in the U.S., or if it's in the morning, it may provide the opportunity for some of the other time zones. So I guess my question is, do you know when, and do you know if the ability or capability for remote participation will be available?
Hey, Mike, this is Craig. I actually have a meeting this afternoon with our meetings department around scheduling the workshop for both HTSLD and also Zone File Access. And so certainly remote participation will be available for these meetings. It sounded to me like there's a preference to have it potentially have it later in the afternoon. That way, does later in the afternoon Nairobi time make it better for more of the participants?
It's an 8-hour difference, so that means that sort of doing it 4 p.m. means that it'll be first thing in the morning in the U.S.
Okay. I'll use that at a point when I meet with the meeting folks.
Yeah, when I put in the initial request, I tried to do it afternoon because morning Nairobi time is unusual hours in the U.S.
This is Mike. Okay. A couple of thoughts. One, the logistics on the conference center mean that the conference center closes hard at 5:30 or 6, so check with the meeting folks. There's some issues in terms of how late to schedule this, because it's not like a normal situation where we can run a little bit late in the afternoon and into the evening.
Are you working for us and I didn't know it, Mikey?
No, but I was on that security call a couple of days ago, and there was a lot of conversation about that. So just kind of keep, I'd shoot for like 3 o'clock at the latest, because by 5, things start to sound pretty complicated. And I'll be there, too, just for your headcount.
Okay, that's real useful information to have, since I wasn't on either of those security calls.
Right, but 3 p.m. in Nairobi is like 7 a.m. Eastern time. So I know in at large we're setting up a call that's going to be have remote from North America. We're actually trying to do something in the hotel after 5 so we can get people in from North America.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually.
Okay.
Which hotel are you guys using?
I'm going to be in the Lyco. This is Evan. My flight's already booked. I'm going to be in something called the Lyco Regency or something like that. That and the Intercontinental, I think, are the two main hotels.
Okay, so Andy, could you put Evan down as a yes? I don't think we got him before. So,
got it. Yep.
Yeah, at large is going to be at the Lyco Regency Hotel.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, everyone, for the feedback. So, Mike, that's what I've got in the administrative side for now. Can I turn over to you?
Sure. I'm trying. Let me go to the wiki right now. Do you have the goal statements that you could put up in Adobe Connect, or let me just go to the wiki. Give me a sec to get to it, to get to the goal. So, for those... As Andy had mentioned, everyone, we'd like to try to, again, reach some closure on the goal and problem statement today. Is there anyone that would have any objection to that happening at this point in time, or is there anyone that would like to potentially tweak it one way or the other?
This is Evan. I would suggest the addition of the word voluntary certification program to make it clear. If that's not desired, that's okay, but I thought it would bring some clarity in.
I think we were trying to stay away from the word certification.
Why?
Hold on. What is it?
Why? Because that's basically what it is.
Well, we don't yet know that we're going to go with a certification program.
Okay, as opposed to?
One of the concepts, the one idea I put out last week was the idea of a scorecard. So, where people could self-certify or, in fact, go and, engage in an audit. So the whole idea of certification, that was my opinion. I mean, I'll sort of leave it out to the group of whether we want to start using that, but I thought we were trying to stay away from the use of the word certification in the initial, if you will, goal statement.
I think the word voluntary is good, and maybe as an alternative to certification, we could use the word assurance and say voluntary assurance program.
That's actually a great suggestion. I think the current thinking I think is to leave it sort of as open as we can to give us flexibility for program modification in the future. And there were a couple current thoughts that we have out there. The first one is certification as a thought. And the second one is really the scorecard as a thought. They're not mutually exclusive. Actually, they could you could do both. I could foresee a path where you do sort of a scorecard as a first step and then work into a certification program at a later date. But the thinking was, let's keep it as open as we could so that our program has flexibility to change with the needs of the community.
Okay, fair enough. I withdraw. Leave it as is. I'm fine.
Well, I would say the word voluntary needs to be in there if it's not already.
It is.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, Lynn, I think that's a great observation, and it is.
Okay, so for now, we appear, again, I just want to go through everyone. What is it? Barry, Frank, Steve, John, Evan, Lynn, Jeff, and Steve. Do any of you have any comments on us, at least for now, putting this sort of in stone? That's probably a bad word to use, but at least reaching consensus on this initial goal statement and moving on to other heavy lifting that we need to get to. That sounds like consensus to me. Again, we will, at the end of this meeting, Andy, perhaps you or I could just send out an email to the list to allow those members that were unable to participate knowing what we've achieved on the goal statement. So I think the other statement that we had discussed was the problem statement, which actually should probably precede the goal statement, but anyway, problem statement. So again, for those that are on the wiki, are there any proposed changes?
This is Evan. I'm sorry for the lateness of my doing it, but a couple of hours ago I actually suggested bringing back number 5, but rewording it in a way that was specific enough that it wasn't a theoretical pie in the sky thing.
All right. And I saw that. Would there be any problem with including Evan's original number 5? I know there were some people that talked about removing it. You know, perhaps we could have a little bit of a discussion here. I think Lynn, you had said something to the list about it, correct?
Yeah, it was when we were talking about scorecards that I just kind of raised the question of, you know, if you publicly publish some type of security scorecard, it kind of identifies to malicious people where they should focus their attacks. And, you know, I just think it's a consideration in, like, publicly publishing scorecards.
This is Evan. I'm sorry. I can't agree with that at all. And the reason why I can't is because people are attacking all sorts of sites, and the fact that some sites identify that they're trying to work hard to make things more secure, I suspect that if they're a target, they're a target for more reasons than because they're implementing more security. You know,
well,
it's a bit of a chick. It's a bit of a chicken and egg thing.
Well, I certainly agree that attackers don't need that kind of information to formulate attacks. But you know, I think from the standpoint of practitioner, or if I were in one of these TLD companies, And I were responsible for the security program, would I, you know, I asked myself the question, would I feel comfortable publishing that kind of scorecard? And I guess my own experience is that kind of scorecard can be misinterpreted by people who are not knowledgeable about security. And so since the whole point here is to promote confidence and help people who've done a good job differentiate themselves, I just feel like it's going to be a problem to persuade owners of TLDs to publish a security scorecard. Because I don't think anybody is ever, like, perfect at any given snapshot in time. Not if it's honest.
That's a good argument against scorecards.
Well, I think scorecards, but I mean, to me, scorecards is something that I usually put in non-disclosure agreements, and you know, it's not sort of like to the outside world.
But forgive me, isn't the point behind this whole exercise something that instills greater confidence in the system? If there's going to be greater confidence, then there has to be something that is out there that will create that confidence, which means some level of knowledge that something is better than something else, without going into the details of what the some things are. I thought the whole idea of ICANN saying, okay, we're going to promote the idea of a high security zone that is going to be better than non-high security zones in certain yet unspecified ways. You know, the details of that don't necessarily have to be public except for a declaration of here are the objectives that have to be maintained. How a particular domain achieves them is proprietary to them.
Yeah, I mean, that is my understanding, too, is that the goal, and I think maybe the question here would be the level of detail, Evan. To me, when somebody uses the word scorecard, I'm picturing in my mind, you know, a fair amount of detail on a scorecard. So if a scorecard is more of like just the summary results, then, you know, maybe that's the answer.
Okay. I'm speaking as somebody who's created a certification program, and basically I agree with you. The whole point and the reason why I use certification so much is that certification is based on objectives rather than the details. Is that to achieve a certification, you meet a certain number of objectives. How you achieve them internally is your own business, but somebody's audited and made sure that you've achieved them. That way you don't have to disclose what you've done, but the public still understands that you've reached a certain plateau. Does that make sense?
Yes,
Excuse me, who's speaking? If we could just when everybody's speaking, for the benefit of everybody, I can pick up most people's voices. Just identify yourself. So we had Evan and Lynn talk, and I think Steve, that was you wanted to get in the queue here.
I am the guilty party. Yeah, go ahead and put me in the queue, please. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. And if there's anybody else that wants to get in, because I do think this is an issue where some refinement and some discussion would be good. We had some good exchanges on the list, so some real-time discussion would be as well. Evan, do you want to finish up on your discussion of how your experiences in the certification program went?
They went extremely well, and essentially what certification does is it basically says somebody has reached a certain set of objectives. It doesn't say how, like in the case of a competence test, it doesn't say how you studied, it just means you took a test and you passed it. And so for that reason, there's a lot of inner details that can be left private and proprietary and potentially even competitive advantage to one player over another. That's something we don't need to get into. All we need to do is have ICANN saying, we will administer a set of tests, and I don't want anyone to be too specific about that. That can have a very broad interpretation. There will be a certain set of tests. If you pass that set of tests, then you get our gold star.
And okay. Steve, you're on the floor now. Is there anybody else that wants to get in the queue after Steve?
Mikey does.
Mikey, okay, we got Steve and Mikey. And Lynn, did you want to respond, please?
Yeah, I may
want to
say one more thing.
Okay, so what I have now is I have Steve, I have Mikey, Jonathan.
I'd like to get in the queue, Mike. It's Andy Wells.
Andy, okay, we got Andy, and then Lynn, we will provide you with the last speaking opportunities. Steve, you have the floor. Go.
Yeah, I would like to say that I'm not certain whether having a certification as opposed to just a minimum threshold that everybody needs to jump over is a better idea. I think people can competitively differentiate themselves already And if I can want to make the entire space safer in some regard, then why not come up with some minimum threshold, have everybody live up to those, and then if they want to go above and beyond that, they can do it themselves. And I think that that gets away from seal or a scorecard. It's just a baseline, yet you have to at least do X, Y, and Z to even be in the game.
Okay, Steve. And along that point, Andy and I think Craig, one of our earlier discussions that we had, I think in your straw person paper, there was a reference about how some of the control criteria are already incorporated or already part of the new GTLD baseline registry contract. So, Steve, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that's what you're looking at. What are those minimum criteria that everybody should be doing? Maybe there are some minimal thresholds that aren't voluntary but really just need to happen. Is that a fair assessment?
Put me in the
queue, Mike. That's my summary, but go ahead to Andy or Craig.
Okay. So Andy and Craig, do you remember, I had asked for that. Do we have any success on identifying what criteria actually appeared and what the delta was between them?
No, the direct answer to that question is no, because we haven't really selected the control criteria yet from this group.
Okay.
So the thinking, but there's some specific logic behind this, and let me see if I can play it for the group so that it makes sense. So there's a couple of different issues here. There's a contract issue of controls that are baked into a contract by ICANN that need to be in place so that the contract can, in good faith, be executed. And then there are some compliance issues that ICANN does that are related to that contract. And that's a set of processes that functions today. And there's a dialogue that can be had about, does that contract have enough, should there be more or less, and so forth. This program was, in concept, designed to be slightly different because it goes beyond contract and normal compliance efforts that are already in place, and basically says that at regular intervals to achieve certification, for instance, an entity would have to get an independent audit on the controls. So there's a distinction in perhaps the level and types of controls, and there's a distinction in the proof and burden of proof of execution of the controls. So they're two very different things that separate it from the existing contracting compliance process today.
All right.
Will you put me in the queue, please?
All right, Ken, you are after Lynn. Okay, so next we have up Mikey. Mikey, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Mike. This is Mikey. I just want to sort of drag us back to the list of five things that we dropped, number five. And that list is a list of interested parties. The reason to do that is because I'm pretty comfortable with the first four interested parties, but I'm real uncomfortable with the idea of trying to tell end users, not registrants, but end users of the Internet, that a given place is safer. And I'll use a stupid analogy which may not work. It seems to me that we can put lights in a park and make it safer, and that we can have pretty good conversations amongst the first four interested parties on that list to make sure that the lights are there, that they're working, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm pretty uncomfortable saying to end users, because we've put lights in the park, this park is safe. So that's my sort of broad brush concern about this. I mean, just to pick an example, a litmus test would be, could we guarantee that there was no spam in that TLD? And I think the answer is no, because we don't control all the actors that could generate spam aimed at that TLD. So that's my little comment.
Thanks, Mikey. I think that's a good point. And again, as far as guarantees, just looking at the first one where it talks about registrants making sure that they don't have their names hijacked. You know, if you have a disgruntled employee, a name could get hijacked through really no fault of the registry or the registrar. So I think that is a fair point. Jonathan, you're up next in the queue. Anyone else want to get in the queue after Ken? Ken is the last person in the queue.
Can I get back in?
Yep.
That is Evan.
Evan. Yeah.
Evan.
Mike, it's
okay.
Andy. I have a thought on this subject, too. I want to make sure I'm not out of the queue from that last dialogue.
Okay. Yeah, Andy, you're in after. Well, we have two Andys.
Andy, well.
Andy. And is the other Andy on the call or no? Do we only?
I don't think we have one Andy.
Okay, we only have one Andy, which makes my job easier. Jonathan, you have the floor.
And Michael,
okay.
Sorry, it's John McElwain. I want to get in the queue, too, before it closes.
Okay, so we got Ken, Evan, John, and Andy. Or actually, Andy, you're next. I'm sorry. So Evan, John. Jonathan, sorry for the distraction. You're up.
No worries, and I'll be brief in respect of all the people. By the way, my name's pronounced Jothan. Like a thin jaw. The thoughts I have, a lot of them have already been covered. One of the things that related to the problem statement, I made a suggestion in the comments in the social text wiki, but I thought that a passive tone might be more constructive as opposed to an active tone. I made the suggestion in the wiki to where we would word it just a little bit differently. And someone suggested to me, outside of this scope, that part of what we want to do by creating a high security zone is to not create an inference that those who don't participate are low security. In essence, the reverse carrot. So the thought was to perhaps start labeling this as a higher security or discuss it in terms of higher security, to not imply or infer that those who don't participate are somehow low security. Those were my two comments.
Okay. Jonathan, did I get it right?
Perfect.
All right, there we go. I'll just remember.
And thank you, Mike.
There we go. I do try. It was a horror when I was on the board. They always used to give me the announcements where I had to thank like 30 people, and I would get one name out of the 30 right. So not exactly my strong point. Engineering, law, pronunciation, not so good. Okay, so we have that. Perhaps other people in the queue may want to talk about this, but I understand what you're talking about, the negative inference there. But I don't know how we prevent against that. I think one of the things that we were talking about last week was the idea of creating an incentive in the marketplace. So this idea of it being high security may be part of the incentive. How that is not viewed as being a detriment to other good actors that elect not to participate in this voluntary program, that's a tough nut to crack. But I think it is important and something that we need to keep in our mind as we go forward so that we're not creating negative impacts for other people in the ecosystem, because that's one of the things we need to account for under the affirmation of commitments are all impacted parties.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really just an ER to the term, that it's a higher security. It's just in how we discuss this group.
Okay.
However, in respect for people's time, I won't.
I like that. It's too little.
It's simple.
Okay, that's good. And Andy, Andy Welsh, perhaps you may address that.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you're in the queue now. You're up. You have the floor.
Very, very timely. I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. So there are really two areas I think that the group is contemplating right now. The first is the concern around bragging, which is a definite concern. I'll address that in just a second. And the second is around revealing private standards that might put users of this scorecard or certification in a bad position. So on the subject of bragging, I wholeheartedly agree. In the concept paper itself, and even now, one of the things I keep trying to drive home to the group is by electing to do a certification or a scorecard approach, the ELD is not saying that they're impervious to attack. That would be a very bad thing to say. All they're really saying through the certification or scorecard is that they have achieved the controls that are required and defined by the community. So it's consistency of applying those controls and the trust that that is derived from applying what the community has defined as good control. Certainly, we don't want to say that it's the most secure zone or a secure zone that could never be hacked, because that simply, A, isn't true, and B, would perhaps invite some negative consequence versus TLDs that went down that path. So that portion is very critical in terms of how we advertise the program and how we sort of educate the public about what the program does. The second piece is on revealing standards. Also agree with that. We don't want to get to a level in whatever program we do, whether it's a certification or a scorecard, that requires that we make available such specificity that it would endanger the TLD. And in the concept paper, I think, Evan, to your point, we had the controls. We didn't get actually down to the control level. We started at the goal, then we went to a couple of principles, a few principles, and then topics, objectives, and criteria. By taking that layered approach, you get a different view on what you can provide as proof, either in a scorecard or in a certification. The next level down from the criteria topics would be the actual controls themselves. So we have a little bit of abstraction here that we could say, right, we want to end at, you know, the principal, objective, or criteria level without potentially getting into a level of detail at the control level that would endanger the TLDs. So I think that's a very important key concept. And those are the two things I wanted to bring to the group.
All right. And I think to that point, yes, you're up next, Lynn.
Okay.
I have just for a cue count, I have Lynn, I have Ken, I have Evan, I have John. So that is the cue count. Lynn, you have the floor.
Thank you. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Trustee Privacy Seal Program, but I've been a participant in that program. And some of the things that I learned from that is that on this point about the people who do not have a certification or a seal suffer negative impact, it's more that the people who do have that extra thing, and it can be an icon, it can be a visual, you know, seal as opposed to using the word certification. And listening to everyone, I think what we would really want to key in on is that a TLD has been validated or verified or, you know, indicate that in some way there's been additional assurance of security. But, you know, the experience not only of a trustee, but I know some of you have experience with a VeriSign seal. We don't necessarily, I think, need to get hung up on wording about how it might be displayed, because it can truly be some kind of visual icon. So I would offer that. And the last thing I would say is that in the trustee privacy seal, when I ran A/B test of the seal displayed and the seal not displayed, when the seal was displayed, the conversion rates from site visitors were 8 to 14% higher, and I saw that consistently for over 3 years, including up through 2009. So I think that people look for something simple and easy to recognize that they trust. And if a program develops credibility, it doesn't necessarily have to disclose all the all the details.
All right. Thanks, Lynn. I appreciate that 3-year statistical analysis. It's always good to have real data. Ken, you are next up in the queue, followed by John.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. A couple of things. I'd like to go back to the comments that were made, the five specific purposes that are listed there. If you look at the very beginning of it, we talk about improving safety perception, and I think that's a critical factor in that as we move forward this thing. We have to develop some guidelines for improving that perception, number one. Also, with respect to what Jothan said, item number five specifically discusses the concept of safer rather than berating, and I think it is possible as you develop not just the guidelines, but a program to put somebody above that line, that you can either offer some best practices or guidelines for dealing with using a seal or the certification or whatever you call it that would make it more effective. But I do think in order to improve safety perception, people have got to understand that the overwhelming majority of people who use the Internet really don't have a clue about a lot of these programs, you know. And we need to do some education. We need to ensure that people who move into this thing, we need to create value. If you're going to have this security zone, you've got to create some value in the zone. Otherwise, it's meaningless. And I'm afraid what would happen is if it becomes meaningless, they may lower the standards and people won't recognize the value. That's all. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Ken. And again, I think that's one of the things that we as a group have talked about is looking at the economics of this. And I think that's one of the reasons why we need to start looking, as I had sent in the email before, let's start looking at the pieces of the puzzle that we have at our disposal and see how they fit into the bigger picture and the, if you will, the viability of such a program, whatever that may be. All right, John, you're up.
Thanks, Michael. What I noticed, and I guess I'm kind of also focusing back on the 4 or 5 points here, is that we seem to be focusing a lot on infrastructure security. And albeit that is 50% of the issue here, there's also the consumer that we need to think of, and really that, by removing the fifth point, is virtually left out. And what I mean by that is the issues of being at least informed of or aware of domain name spaces that don't take proactive measures towards malicious conduct. We were kind of at the .org thing, Michael. You and I were talking about, you know, what is this really here? Your mother? Is it your grandmother?
My mom.
Is your mom? You know, when she gets an email from some Fisher with a link to her bank name dot customer service, there needs to be something out there, whether it's a scoreguard type color or the fact that that website she's taken to doesn't have a seal on it that might tip her off that this domain space doesn't take the same sort of precautions that others do. So, of course, it would be voluntary, but I think we ought to add in a point to the problem statement, acknowledging that end users need a safer space, something acknowledging that malicious conduct would be addressed. That's it.
All right. Thanks, John. Is there anyone else? I think everybody has actually spoken on this, just looking at the agenda. Jeff, you haven't spoke. Would you like to speak on this?
I think that we've kind of covered my thoughts in others' commentary. You know, kind of just cycling back, I support not deferring to security through obscurity by shying away from information because we think that the bad guys might, you know, use that information. Sites and domains and namespaces and participants will be attacked because of who they are and not because of some certification program. With respect to the latest topic here about individuals, you know, that's a hard problem, and I think I don't have anything to add to that conversation.
All right.
That hasn't already been said. Thanks.
I put it this way. I appreciate that. So what I'd like to do is, since the list of five were proposed, I guess, by Dave within the last, say, 24 to 38 hours, and we seem to, again, have engaged in a healthy discussion here, perhaps I didn't see any problems with the first two or three sentences, in the problem statement that was kind of, if you will, vetted last week. So I think it's fair to say we have consensus perhaps on those first three sentences, but with regard to whether we have four, whether we have five, the text wording associated with each of those bullet points, perhaps we might be able to just continue to use the wiki and the list to flesh that out and, you know, perhaps nail that down, you know, next week. Because, again, I based upon the healthy discussion we've had here today, I would like to get the other team members that have not been able to participate to have them weigh in, because I think this really is a critical foundation piece that if we don't get right, it will potentially impede the good work that we've done here in driving towards consensus and being a problem. So that's just kind of my sort of assessment from listening and reading. So perhaps what we can do now, if there is anyone else that I think we're done with this, Andy,
well,
I think, I'm sorry, who wanted to speak?
Well, this is Evan. What do you mean by done?
when I said done, I'm sorry, I think perhaps finished with this particular discussion point today. Nothing's written in stone, nothing's been finalized. That's what I was proposing at this particular point in time. I'm sorry if I used the word done in that caused confusion. So I was just seeing that we concluded this.
This is Jeff Schmidt. So can I make one comment?
Sure, Jeff, go.
You know, I was thinking about this and reflecting back on some of the emails over the last couple of days, and I think I'll put it into an email to broaden the conversation, but I'll give this group a heads up. You know, I perceive that we've been focusing a lot on the infrastructure and the mechanics of the operator, but one of the most interesting parts of a namespace, and that's just, you know, that's what a GTLD is, are potential selected admission properties of the namespace. And this may play into the, you know, how does this impact grandma sort of situation. If, you know, there is a property that that says that somebody that's in a, you know, dot bank or dot secure or whatever has met some selected admission properties, that may be a way to make it useful to others. So I will. I wanted to think a little bit more about it and write some things down, but that's a heads up.
All right. No, I look forward to that. And again, you know, perhaps when we're talking about the infrastructure, I think this goes back to what is it? Who had done the certification program? That was Evan, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, correct. All right. trying to get up to speed. And but I think, Evan, this goes to what you were talking about, objective criteria. So, you know, perhaps the objective criteria at the operator level is easier to measure, and perhaps I think what you were talking before, Jeff, about selected emissions, how to create objective criteria, and that's one of the things that I tried to mention in the email before the start of this list is I think we need to perhaps start looking at control elements. What are the tools or what are the pieces of the puzzle that we have at our disposal, and how do we go about gathering them to see what we can and can't do? I'll just leave that at that. Is there anyone else before we conclude for today's call, this particular discussion topic? Because I would like to give Andy a couple of minutes to perhaps run through the principal statements, which perhaps may re-stimulate some of the earlier discussions we've had today. Anyone else? Evan, Jeff, you both, you're fine with that for right now?
I'm fine with taking the rest of the email. There's more needs to be done, but we're not going to finish it here.
Yes. Yep. you probably said that much more succinctly and in a better tone than I did. So, yes, this will be continued via the wiki and the email. And what I'd like to do now, we have 10 minutes left on the call. Andy, if you want to try to perhaps go through some of the principal statements, I will turn
sure.
the floor over to you.
Sure. So let me just segue a little bit. One of the thoughts I would quickly offer as we segue from the last dialogue into this dialogue is that, and Mike, jump in here if I'm totally offending what you think is the right way forward. But on some of these areas, we may not get to a point where we're completely comfortable in development before we sort of move off into other areas of development. And that's okay, I think, because as we get deeper down into the principles and the objectives and the criteria, which is the real meat of the program, if you will, that may impact back up the chain.
Evan, could you mute, please?
It may impact, for instance, the goal or purpose, and that's a good thing. I think what we want to do in the next week or so is get the purpose and goals to a point where we're fairly comfortable with the direction they are, and we got what we'll call sort of a final draft, but not final, because as we develop the program, there will be opportunity for us to look back and say, hey, you know, we subtly forgot some key points here, and that's the way these things kind of work. I think that's okay. So that being said, I don't hear violent disagreements. I'll just quickly go through. In the concept paper, we really talked about three principles to support the original goal, and I've passed them out as a component of the agenda to the working group, and I can post them up to the wiki, which I'll do later today. And each of the goals, we sort of sketched out some topics, objectives, and some possible criteria topics to support. What I'd like the group to do is really start taking a look at these principles, because they become the principles of what the program is trying to achieve. And I'll try to kind of briefly paraphrase what each is trying to accomplish, because they're fairly detailed. The first one is about control and assurance around security, availability, and confidentiality. The second one is really about core registry functions, about authorization, accuracy, and completeness and timely transaction. And the third is really about registry. So there's registrar and registry, so authorized, accurate, complete, and timely. And those were sort of the three principles that we thought would give us a principle structure for how to view controls within a TLD. This is a particular area that I think it will make more sense as we develop. So what I'd ask you to do, I put together in the concept structure, like I said, some topics and objectives supporting those principles. It begins to make sense as an overall package, I think, when you look at it in total. So what I'd ask is for the group to really review those principle statements the topic objectives and some possible criteria topics, and let's start a dialogue around, do we have enough principles? Have we missed any key principles? Should we consider some areas that we aren't currently? And let's get that dialogue begun and out on the table as well, because this really forms the basis of what exactly we're looking at when we build the controls. So I tried to be as succinct as I could.
Yeah.
I've got about, I think, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. As I said, you know, my perhaps this is maybe a point of divergence here, but I guess, as I had said in my earlier email, I think we need to start looking at potential controls, because knowing what the controls are then provide us to perhaps look at what potential options we have for principles. That's my own personal viewpoint. But again, I want to sort of just open it up to the rest of the group now. We have 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes left. So, Andy, thank you for being succinct. Can we get it? Can I start a queue to address a particular discussion point by Andy?
Devin, I'd like to go.
Evan?
Briefly.
Evan, you have the floor. Go.
Okay. Andy, this has been, what you've done is great. It's a phenomenal start, and I think there's a lot to work with here. I agree totally with what you said. I'd just add one more thing, and that is, in addition to trying to discover things that we haven't included that we should, we also want to be careful not to be too far overreaching, that there sometimes is a temptation to want to secure off and test and validate too many things, and that may end up being a matter of, you know, biting off more than we could chew. There's nothing that says this all has to be done in one shot. That could be done in phases. And so I'm just suggesting, as we're deciding what it is we want to validate, that there's also, you know, the practicality of how much can we take on.
That is a heck of a good point. Very, very well put. I agree.
And I think that actually goes back, Evan, to what we talked about. What is the economic viability
mm-hmm.
of this program? Because it could be really nice to, you know, it would be nice if everybody could drive Lamborghinis, you know. But that's there's a lot more, shall we say, Hondas, Fords, and Hyundais on the road than there are Lamborghinis. I think, you know, that's something we definitely want to talk about. Anyone else that wants to speak to this topic today?
Mike, can I have one more minute?
Go ahead, Andy. The floor is yours.
Okay. Evan, that's a heck of a good point. And one of the things I think I haven't spoken about in conversations past is the concept of program versus project. So to me, a project has a distinct beginning and an end. And it's manageable on a very discrete timeline, whereas a program lives on continually, and you've got to put the right processes in place to keep the program updated and continue to move. This, I think, is more of a program. And to Evan, that's a great point. You know, we want to get to a point where we've got a well-defined first step, but I think. No matter how far we get or how much effort we put into it, we need to make sure that we have the right governance and process pieces in place, that change can be a natural part of the program so that we can keep up with the latest activities in the community. I fully agree with that. That's it. Did I lose everyone?
Nope, we're still here.
Okay. Uh-oh, does everyone disagree with me? Maybe I've got everyone mad now.
No. We're a very amicable group here. We're we're just proceeding forward. Okay, so we're at the end of our call. What I'd like to do is just sort of run through the list, get any final closing comments. So we had Mark. You were uncharacteristically quiet. Mark, any comments? McFadden, or have you dropped off?
No, I'm here, and I'm just suffering under that uncharacteristic remark. No,
but after 11 years, it's I've been in many a forum where I've not gone a whole hour without having you interject in some capacity. So I don't know if I'm doing a bad job or not. So there
well,
we go.
Well, I'd never tell you that. I'd never tell you that publicly anyway.
That's okay. I have a thick skin. Okay,
no,
Mikey.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm just letting that go, Mike. I think you've actually made really good progress here today.
All right, Mikey, final closing comments?
I love program versus project. I get that big time. And I also really like Evan's thoughts about not overreaching. I think if we can get a good, solid toehold and a proof of concept done and then build out from that, that we'll be way ahead.
All right, Barry?
I'm in a noisy area, so I'm good. Thank you very much.
All right. Frank, anything?
Yep. I just wanted to comment. I'm not sure that you are reaching out to security specialists and law enforcement agencies. I have the feeling that the representation in this group is more biased toward the G-Street. So maybe we should rebalance a little bit the group to the people that will be using the registrar data.
Okay. Frank, if you'd like, you may recall on one of our first meeting, or actually it was the second meeting, I had actually said the group's always going to be open. So if you know of anybody who you think could help in providing a better balance, please conduct the outreach and bring them to the table. Is there any?
Hey, Mike, this is Craig. You know, I do think we need to be careful about having a rolling admission to this process. I mean, we're making great progress as a group now, and certainly, you know, having had some of that more of that community involvement at the start, I think would have been great. But when you start to bring some, new people in, halfway through the march, I think you're going to wind up finding yourself resetting a lot of the discussion and a lot of the points that the group's already made. So I caution the group to have rolling admission going forward.
But the question is, do we have a well-balanced group? And if you could put the statements of everybody online so we could have a look over there. More of the people inside the group is just people who are on the security and law enforcement area. And I'm sure that inside the ICANN caravan, you've got some good people that you may think could join the group.
So as I said, Frank, Craig, this should not come as a surprise, but I do not necessarily agree with your view. I tend to agree with Frank. I share your concerns, Craig, that we don't want to have, people last-minute flooding trying to stuff our ballot box or mess with our consensus process. But I think, Frank makes a valid point. The legitimacy of our work is going to be based upon the stakeholders that participated in the process. So, Frank, one of the things I'll do is I'll reach out to – I had reached out to law enforcement previously. They had indicated, at least to the one or two that I had spoke to, about not participating on a regular basis but perhaps making a presentation. So, Andy, perhaps you and I could make that a point perhaps for next week to have a presentation
right
by law enforcement.
Okay. You know what? I'll reach out to you just after this, Mike, and we can lock some of that thought.
Excellent.
Maybe you could see with people in search.
Okay. I will do that. Frank, and thank you for speaking up.
Thank you.
Very good contribution. I'm glad we got it on the record. Steve Holston, you're up.
Yep, no further comment, Mike.
Okay, John?
You look at John McElwain?
I believe so. Yep, John,
nope.
Go.
No other comments. I'm going to be shooting an email around just with a suggested revision to the problem statement, but that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Evan?
I'm fine. I've already said my piece.
Thank you. Lynn? We may have lost Lynn. Jonathan?
Yeah, I just wanted to express a personal apology to you, Mike, for messing with your name deliberately last week's call.
Oh. That's okay.
It was all in fun, and I have deepest respect for you.
That's okay. As I said, 11 years in this process, and I apologize for the name. I did not do it purposely, but I have it written down here, Jonathan, so I will get it right. And you can talk to Christina Rosette, who I butcher her name repeatedly after 4 years.
Keep doing that.
No, I don't want to do that. Okay, I think we're at the end. I think I got everybody. Everybody had their last final say for this week's call. Thanks again for everyone's constructive work together towards moving this ball forward. Look forward to talking to everyone next week. Have a good evening, day, or whatever part of the world you may be in. Okay?
You too.
Thanks a lot. Good call.
Thanks.